we're gonna do a little sound check here.
Rip, have you eaten yet? Everything is
bullshit like a real life art bag. Okay, so can you guys scoot yourselves closer?
Oh yeah, I'm wrong. We're used to that.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now just talk. Check, check, check.
Hello. Hello.
Wisconsin.
Okay. And a little bit more.
Big,
blah, blah, blah.
Big Newtons.
Check, check, check.
Mike.
Mike number one.
Put that a little bit closer to Andy.
Brett Favre. Brett Favre.
Live, no going back now. The Pomonas are my guests today, and I'm Richard, your host. It's, you know how it always is. How's it going, gentlemen? Thanks for coming. Let me turn this music down a little bit. Let you introduce yourselves.
Pretty good.
We're fine, Richard.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Good.
Richard.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Pomonas.
You're welcome. I got Justin Ripley.
That's me.
I got Andy Gassaway.
Hello.
And Brandon Ripley.
Hello.
Mr.
How's it
Biceps.
Going, fellas?
Yeah.
Why do you think it was worth bringing you in today? I don't know. Was it worth bringing you in today?
I just figured you probably had some kind of deadline and were in a bit of a scramble and maybe sort of ran across a flyer or something.
I think it was both of those things.
Yeah.
While we were in the middle of taming the chest.
Yeah, chess taming. Yeah.
You guys are a rock band, right? Rock band?
Yes.
Sure. What do you think? I think pop.
Well, let's listen for a second and see if we can figure it out.
Very good segue. Very good segue.
Why are you laughing at your own music?
I don't know. Why are we laughing?
I don't know. We don't laugh. I think this is like the second time we've heard the CD, I think.
Yeah.
Probably enough.
I listened to it drunk a couple weeks ago, and I remembered how much I hate it. Yeah. B-Rip? Any thoughts?
My girlfriend always tells me she likes it.
Hey, she has to.
Yeah, so... if she likes it, I'm kind of skeptical.
Do you think girlfriends can ever offer honest criticism about your own band's music? What's your opinion on that?
I think it's really lame when I go to shows and I see the girlfriends of all the bandmates in the front row dancing. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's sort of natural.
I always get a little melancholy, and I think, man.
Why don't I have a girlfriend at our shows?
I wish my girlfriend were on the front row dancing, but...
That's true. Me and Andy actually tend to date girls that hate our music. We're really good at finding girls like that.
Yeah.
Me, not currently, but...
Any ideas as to why that might be?
Because maybe me and Andy should stay away from the hipsters.
Because no chicks in the clubhouse. You know, this is music for men.
Oh.
We make music. We're men. We make...
Yeah.
Music by men for men.
It's like deodorant. Our music is like deodorant. That's right.
Feel free to improvise over the music if you just want to go chicka or something like that.
Okay.
On the table.
So we should probably do a little proper background on the Pomonas. You're from Lawrence, I know that much, and you guys have been a band for what? How long now?
December 22nd will be 1 year of playing shows.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's very special. Congratulations.
It'll be a big day.
One year anniversary. Any plans or anything?
I don't think so. We're playing at the Replay next week, but no.
We'll probably go to Harrah's. play some craps or something. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I like to do when a celebration is called for.
Put something on black, maybe.
Craps. Crabs? No.
Craps.
Shake them up.
We're going to play craps until we get crabs.
Yeah, basically.
So,
yeah. Pretty much. Sums up. And it's been stable lineup. It's been four people. The only one we're missing is
Ryan Laird.
Yeah.
And oh, we
he's too busy combing his inconsistent beard.
Yeah. Oh, we did have a fifth member for a short time. This girl who played the fiddle and the keyboards with us, and but she's gone.
Do you know Devil Eat the Groundhog? You know that band?
Sure, yeah. Lindsay.
Lindsay, yeah. Okay. She played our very first show with us because Ryan was in Chemical Alley and we weren't sure what was going on with that. So she played
the
first show.
Still didn't make any sense. She can't play the drums or anything.
No, yeah. Yeah, you gotta play the drums in order to be in the band.
Right.
Ryan Laird.
But I sing, so I'm cool. I'm good to go.
But you're still a pretty good drum player.
Yeah.
Quit talking, my turn. So the EP that we're listening to is called Jubilation, and it's like seven songs you did at Underground Sound Studio in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And mixed feelings now, because it's kind of old, and you know you like certain parts of it, and you hate certain parts of it. What's like the hot new thing with you guys? You know, is there like an album in the works, or what?
Yes, we've transformed our kitchen and living room into a studio. We sunk all the money, all $200 of our band fund, into buying like monitors and things. All pilferers out there, you know, might want to check out our house, I guess. But anyway, it's we're starting to do new songs that we have put together since this came about.
Okay.
Some of them before that, actually. So
okay, yeah.
Some are old. Most of them are. I'd say at least half the songs were written by all four of us. Like, you know, like in the existence of the band,
right?
But it's gonna be like a 12 or 13 song album. It'll be called, I think, tentatively, "When We're Electric." When
okay.
We are
okay,
electric.
I can live with that title.
Yeah. So,
okay. And the $200 was acquired presumably by multiple gigs at the Replay Lounge, Jackpot Saloon.
Another good segue.
Et cetera, et cetera.
We tour a lot too.
Yeah.
And we try to. I don't know, we focus on, like, getting out of town as much as possible, as much as, like, our personal finances can provide for, because, you know, bands this small don't make any money on the road. We end up spending a lot more than we end up making, so, unless you go on tour with the Killers, so.
Well, it's pretty hard.
Is that like a
it's a half burn. It's a half burn.
Right.
But
you're speaking, of course, of Connor.
Yeah, we're playing with them next Friday at Oliver's in Omaha, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No big tours for you guys. No.
We don't have any.
Dates or
we're
anything.
Staying in town until we get it done. Hopefully, okay. We will probably have a CD release in April, and then we will be touring constantly after that. Like,
that's what bands always say.
No, we'll do it. I do the booking.
I fully intend to get a real job here in like a month and derail Ripley's plans entirely.
Yeah,
yeah.
If that's what you're referring to.
Yeah,
works
yeah.
Out.
What real job? Any?
Oh, you know, anything.
Bricklaying.
You know, yeah.
Roofing.
Who knows? Receptionist. Roofing. Yeah.
No.
Administrative assistant.
I could probably
chest massages.
Chest massages.
Yeah, masseuse.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we shut up and listen to music a little?
All right. Cool.
Noises start, the music comes down. That's a killer breakdown right there. I was feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not so bad, you know, when it's loud and listening to it on the headphones or something. It's not so embarrassing anymore.
You gotta be pretty wasted to like it, I think.
Yeah.
Drunken nights
help. Yeah. Sounds like you guys put on some pretty rambunctious live shows from the sound of that right there, you know?
We get pretty loud.
Yeah. It's
pretty loud, yeah.
Sorry. It's pretty loud.
Kind of varies. Show.
We're no Zeke, but okay. we still pull it off, I think, live.
Okay. Here, we'll listen to this here for more. This goes on forever. Thanks to our production studio, I want to give a shout out to all the, other members of the podcasting team for that killer volume tweaking right there.
Right.
That was excellent.
Seamless. Thank you, Debbie, for that.
Thank you. Yeah.
I feel like we're doing like the special edition of the director's commentary for the CD here or something.
Todd Stevenson, thank you for the headphone volume levels and everything.
Cool. So, Justin, I heard, like, on one of those things that you wrote, you know, to describe yourself, that you, like, picked up the guitar when you were about 20, which
21,
maybe
I think,
is a little bit later than the average musician, you know, in this town. That's true, in fact, and you're how old now?
I'm 26.
Okay, so.
And, yeah.
So, I mean, did you feel a little intimidated kind of coming to it at a later stage?
Yeah,
in
fact, right. It just dawned on me, like, when we started, I was in a band before this, and we weren't very good, and, it just sort of dawned on me one day, like on the road, I was just like, I'm in a band and I'm doing music. Like, what the hell? Like, I was supposed to like run for office and stuff. Like, that's what I was, like, the biggest dork. So when I was like 21, I picked up the guitar and started listening to the Beatles. Late. Think about that. I mean, what did you listen to in high school? Like, don't you do like Pink Floyd and like Led Zeppelin in high school and stuff? I did it when I was like 21. So.
What were you listening to in high school then?
Neo metal, like
Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, probably. And like, God, what was my? The Aerosmith's Greatest Hits was my first CD that I had, and I was like a junior in high school.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I worked at a steakhouse, and like didn't do anything. We're from Pomona, Kansas, so.
Is that true?
That's where the name comes.
No,
from.
You're not. Yeah, not all of you guys. Oh. No, you're not.
No, I'm not from Pomona.
But Justin is from Pomona.
Just that guy and,
okay.
and this guy.
And Brandon, yeah, that's
the
true.
Brother.
Where is Pomona, Kansas?
About 30 miles from Lawrence. And it's very close to Ottawa, where Andy Gassaway worked for 3 years.
Right on.
Well, let's keep these segues going. Let's do it.
Yeah. Let me bring you back.
Just riff, man. Just riff.
Just riff. Just do it, man.
Bring you back around. So then you're in this state where, you know, you're picking up the guitar and you're trying to put together a good band. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What kept you going, motivated? Why is this, like, the midlife crisis at, you know, early 20s that this is what you want to do?
I think it was, like, I started reading, you know, I don't know, like, very leftist stuff, and for some reason my, like, brain went crazy, and I figured out that I didn't really like school, and that the normal workaday world wasn't for me. You hear that cliche all the time. And then I was like, I don't know, it just sort of made sense. Like, the process doesn't really make sense to you in your head, but once it happens, I don't know. So, it works out. Yeah.
How did you cope with that, you know, that rejection of the workaday world? I mean, did you quit school? Did you, like...
Well, I went to KU for 6 years, and I took, like, I was a film major and a political science major and an English major, and, like... had tons of hours, like I could go back and graduate in a semester, but like I don't see the point in it. Like, I don't know, you don't learn trades and, you know, trades in school anymore. You learn them like out doing things. I've got a library card, and that's a lot cheaper than, you know,
but listening audience, stay in school.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, what are you doing these days? I mean, is it, I know you work at the Replay, you do sound, you're a door guy.
The jackpot, the jackpot.
Are you trying to be a carpenter on the side or something? Or
no, I just, like, every... I go to the library, and, like, every 3 months, I'll, like, pick a different subject, and I'll just teach myself about certain things. Like, but one time, at once, it's, like, the Black Renaissance, and then it's linguistics, and then it's something else. Like, a novice at everything, but, like, not very good at one thing, you know? So...
That's a great, sounds like a great thing to be.
Yeah, you know? It's
consistently getting fresh material into your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's the one thing. I've been
Quaker furniture making last month.
Yeah,
I've been in a real lyric rut recently, and I think it's because I've stopped reading as much as I used to. But it's a good thing Andy's been taking over some of that, so that's really good. And he's a really good writer. So.
And Andy, you, I knew you a little bit, like, you know, in your formative years in college.
That's right, we were neighbors.
Neighbors at Hashinger Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't playing too seriously in any bands at that point. You were just kind of guy who liked to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
What made you take the leap of faith into, you know, band format and stick with it?
I started going, playing at open mic nights, man. I like really nervous about playing music in front of people for a long time, and then after doing that, kind of met Ripley and Ryan, and we just decided to do the band thing and give that a shot, which is it's been fun, man. Good experience.
And these days, what do you do besides this music?
Well, jargon? I'm I was on unemployment for the duration of the summer, and I am currently temporarily laid off from the University of Kansas as a data entry drone. My work, colleagues and I were doing too efficient of a job, so this week we were told not to report in, but we're holding on that maybe next week we'll get to go back and work. And,
but you better slow down.
But we better slow down. I don't understand. I mean, everybody, I check my email most of the time when I'm there. I don't know what everybody else is doing. Apparently, plowing through files and making that database all it can be for next semester. But, you know, me, I'm content to just, you know, read The Onion and stuff and like try to straighten all the paper clips in my cubicle. That really pisses my supervisor off.
You can listen to this podcast during your next episode.
Maybe I will. I don't know. Just for the sake of myself and everybody else. I mean, I'm sure we'd all like to continue drawing a paycheck.
You could go to your boss's office and connect all his paperclips together.
I might do that. Just to retaliate. I don't know. I don't want there to be too much bad blood. She did make us brownies when she made that announcement, though.
To lessen the blow.
Yeah, she's like, look, the bad news is you don't get to come in for work next week, but I did make you brownies, and if you want, you can leave 15 minutes early, which I thought was nice, and it wasn't a total bad breakup or anything.
She's like, you guys are doing a really great job. You're fired.
Too good of a job, so I'll see you next month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but enough about this workaday nonsense.
Always a pleasure. Yeah.
I better make a note. We're on one of the songs that you guys mentioned that you still like. It's called Two Seat Cessna. Let's see if we can catch a little bit of the end of it.
Oh, you turn it up right at the really shit. We should note this has been pitch corrected. Oh.
You guys want to go back to the beginning of the song to give people some context here?
Can we just go back to the beginning of this part we're listening to now?
Here, from the top. Business about dying in a two-seat Cessna, Justin?
Ooh, good question.
He's like, I don't have a degree or anything, and I'm not very good at...
I don't know, Richard. Richard, what do you think it means?
I think it's kind of romantic, you know, romanticized version of your own death, perhaps. I don't know. I'd have to listen to some more lyrics to do more in-depth commentary. Just thought I'd use it as a...
I think the first verse is about living, the second verse is about dying, and the third verse is about not giving two shits about either way.
Because we're all going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was having a conversation with Mark at Keith's Music yesterday about that fact. He's like 49, and he just saw fit to remind me that we're all going to die as I was like looking through the new releases.
He's a lot closer to the end of the trail than the rest of us, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So is that a topic here? What do you call it? Existentialism?
Sure. I think I wrote it actually when I was reading a lot of that crap. like Sartre and Camus and all that stuff, but... I think I felt a need to like make all the lyrics really dramatic, which I don't know if I, hopefully I don't do that anymore.
What are you writing about these days, or are you in that rut that you were talking about?
No, well, I don't know. I think I tried to like make a link of some kind with all the lyrics on this new album, but it's very like it's gonna be romantic again too, but like we want it to be like the band, our band is all about like being uplifting and like. It's pop music and being happy, and like you
being
don't see
men.
Being men, and being men, but like you know you watch shows all the time where the band just looks so depressed, like, and they're gonna start crying or something, you know, and we just don't understand that. We want to have a good time. Our band's like a family, and we treat it like that. It's a good time, so that's what I try to write about, and it's gonna be like very Whitman-esque. yeah,
what?
It's gonna be Yeah, go ahead, burn me. Do it.
Fuck it, man. I write songs about spacemen.
That's
and,
true.
Mustaches.
Andy wrote a
and
song
communists.
Called Cub Astronaut.
Is that a new Pomona song? Cub Astronaut?
Yeah. Nobody's. No, that's not out yet, man. That's going to be on the album.
It's going to be
no,
fierce.
The hot action.
Yeah.
What's
it
about?
The space program, you know.
No, it's
completely about that, and, you know.
Dude, he wrote it and he doesn't even know what
pretty,
it's about.
You know, must be a job that you know you'd be proud to have. You know, it takes a lot of work and you see a lot of crazy things. I imagine.
See, I read the lyrics.
Chances are, you know.
I read the lyrics and I thought it was about. And I told them like I was like that. You know, they always send like you know scientists into space. They just send like writers and poets and stuff. And I thought that it was a good translation for me. So it was like sending a poet into outer space.
I'll buy that.
It's Cub Astronaut, right? Cub's like a rookie.
Because you think of a Cub reporter, yeah.
A rookie.
Yeah.
Are you still a reporter, Andy?
No, I'm not a reporter anymore. I may be again one day, but I'm kind of on hiatus from the field. I got a bit burned out, to say the least. So.
Hence the unemployment?
Yes.
Did you have to get fired in order to get unemployment, or can you just get unemployment by quitting?
Nope, you have to get fired. Yep, you do. And I was.
Really?
Yeah.
For a reason.
Did you, I mean, did you make
was,
that happen?
It was right after interviewing Pat Sajak, too.
Oh, that was true. Yeah, man. And insult to injury. Yeah, I did. I'm sure you guys probably got some press information on that. Wheel of Fortune came to Kansas City, and there were some Ottawans who were contestants on the show. I believe it was Mom and Me Week on Wheel of Fortune, and I had to go and interview them, and... Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was a day out of the office, but yeah.
That,
was that
tell,
wasn't why I got
tell
fired.
Richard about the that one question that you asked Pat Sajak. What, the one about like.
Oh that,
know,
was,
like,
that was pretty depressing. I asked.
Yeah,
I mean,
check
I, you
this
know,
because
he talked about. I think you know, so they'd done thousands of shows, you know, over like 15 years, and we all got one question. It was a really big sacred deal. Your one shot with Pat Sajak, and I asked him, you know. After doing thousands of these shows that are almost interchangeable, you know, has there ever been anything that's happened? Because, I mean, you figure, I mean, people throw up or pass out. I mean, they're human beings, they're unpredictable. And I put this to Pat Sajak, and he just sat there and he goes, no, I can't think of a single thing. Next question. Uh-huh. And
It's been the same every day, all these years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... Anyway.
And then you threw up.
right.
On
so the
Pat
I kind of
so
wish
the
I
next
had.
Time.
I really think it would have made his day, because, I mean, yeah, he just kind of had this
and then
deep sorrow
like, that's
in his
my
eye.
Job.
Yeah. I puke on the host.
Yeah.
So how'd you get fired?
Why did I get fired? I don't know, man. You know,
wasn't
to tell you the truth, I'm not.
That, spotlight.
Yeah, that was kind of the final straw. I don't know, and to tell you the truth, I'm not sure exactly how professional it is to rattle on and on about this on a podcast.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Basically,
I know most of the time you're pretty concerned about being professional in your daily life.
Well, that's just like kind of, you know, it's been after 3 years in the business, it's just kind of, you know, rapport and diplomacy. You know, I always try to, you know, employ those as much as possible. But I guess to give you the real homogenous answer, there were just a lot of differences of philosophy between myself and the rest of the editorial staff.
Right.
So, yeah.
You wanted to write about Pat Sajak.
If I could have written about Pat Sajak every single day, I would have, but you just can't do that, man. I mean, water treatment centers get built.
Yeah, that's true.
Ordinances get passed.
Spotlights on top of McDonald's.
People staple their scrotums to the top of their roof sometimes. And,
yeah.
But yeah, that actually happened. That actually happened. That was pretty fun.
He was stapling.
Yeah, you know, it was only a brief. You know, I can't imagine the stretches an incident like that out into a, you know, a full, you know, story or anything. But it happened, and
the same guy didn't the same guy do something else like.
Yeah, I think he accidentally shot himself in the leg or something like the previous year, turtle hunting.
Yeah.
It's a very special community.
You can't make this up. You can't make it up.
Nor can you make this up.
Shit off. This is terrible.
Yeah. We've revised this song since it was recorded, man. We don't do that anymore. Every song was a jock jam spectacular at the beginning. I think we've been a band about 4 months when this all came together, if you couldn't tell. I promise this wasn't the result of like a year of intense songwriting and rehearsing or anything.
So, what's next for the Pomonas? If we sat here a year from now doing the same thing again, what do you think we would be talking about?
Get these fuckers signed. I want a
more
paycheck.
More like I still don't have a job.
I want a 45-cent paycheck every 3 months. That's what I want out of this band.
I just, if we could sell a song like to a commercial, that would make me.
Yeah.
I would feel pretty satisfied. It would have made the whole journey worth it. You know.
There's not many bands that, you know, found their band with the stated objective of let's get a song on a commercial and then let's break.
No, that's been the objective since day one.
I am at odds with the three of them about the commercial.
We agreed on that from day one.
We're not broken social scene. We're like, look, oh, this is an art collective. Let's do this shit for like art fag reasons. You know, like. Look.
Well, I don't know if I want like a song on like a Home Depot ad or something.
I would love a song on a Home Depot ad. In fact, I think we've got several on the new album.
Yeah.
Are there any executives listening in that I think would really
HomeDepot.com
it would push lumber in a big way, especially the astronaut song we were talking about.
What would be your second choice?
Oh,
you mean after the commercial thing?
After Home Depot.
Water slides like. Water theme parks? We definitely have songs for water theme parks.
Actually, I've always
or
said
coffee.
That the track.
Oh,
track,
coffee too. Yeah.
Track
coffee
3 on this album, I think, would be good for a video game, probably.
Yeah. A race car game.
Yeah, probably
Gran
race car racing
Gran Turismo game. Or something.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo.
Yeah. We could have the
Winnebago.
Your
Mario Kart, etc.
Yeah, maybe.
What about this one? This is number 6.
Suicide Helpline. Yeah.
That's a burn on Ryan Laird right there. That was a high five.
Because he tried to found one once and he just it blew up in his face. We'll never let him forget it.
A Suicide Helpline?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You remember.
Yeah, no, I remember.
So the show is what, Thursday at the replay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who else is playing?
The Volunteers.
Alright.
And they were in Farmer's Ball last year. which we did not get accepted to.
I believe they were disqualified.
They were disqualified because their demos were
different. Gave a good performance, though.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Been contenders.
They're pretty good.
And just think, now they're opening for you.
Yeah, so we're not sweating it.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. We play with this band, nameless, whatever, in what was that place? Somewhere in Wisconsin. And they were like, oh, so you've been a band this long or whatever, and we're like, yeah, we're having fun and stuff. And then they go, well, we opened up for Pomeroy, so I guess we're not sweating either.
I don't give a shit. Their name was Vertigo Joe, and if you're listening, if you guys want to go, we can go right now.
But
it's
not
pretty much my stance on
not
the
to
issue.
The shower, like,
yeah,
the
not yeah, yeah.
So it's out. The gauntlet is thrown. There's no going back.
Bring it. The beef is here, man. It's
the
on.
Podcast is out there for millions of people to hear. So,
I get. Oh my God, did you hear what they said on the podcast? Vertigo Joe.
Can't hardly believe it.
Oh snap! Vertigo Joe showers together.
Well, I guess there's nothing left to say, gentlemen. We better wrap this up.
Cool.
It's been 31 minutes. Can you believe it?
Ooh, wow.
Feels like
17.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Pomonas.
Thank you.
If people want to know more about the Pomonas, check out www.thepomonas.com. And you can also check up with them on lawrence.com because they have a band page. Or I imagine you can go down to your local Five and Dime and
I don't know. We don't
put
really
a donation, put a tip in the Pomonas jar. And yeah. They'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Just come knock on our door.
We'll be at Montgomery Ward jingling the bell this Friday.